Take two. Okay, so we're trying to figure out what this notion of Ratz Brishos means. A topic that's relevant to Hanukkah, a topic that's relevant to Nezikin as a whole. And we're particularly interested in the notion now of B'mitzvah as a subset of this whole idea. What does it mean to say that there is Rishus that changes the equation? And we basically saw laid out that there are a couple of possibilities. Now, one possibility is to say that this is a type of onus. Because essentially, when we say that Adam Hamazik ba'onus chayiv, which on some level is true according to everyone, or we say that you're chayiv b'shogeg, so what we mean is that we don't look at it like an intentional action that we gauge on the same scale as an Avera. So when you do an Avera, you want to be punished for the Avera, you have to have a certain level of intent. But when it comes to Nezikin, it's not based on intent. It's based on something less than that. So therefore, it could be even a shogeg or even what you might call an ones is also chayiv. But it's got to be something. There's got to be some level of responsibility. So when there's no reasonable expectation that a person could do differently, so then maybe then you are still putter. And that might tell us that if something is done v'rishus, something is done in the pursuit of a mitzvah or something else that qualifies as a rishus, so then that's also going to be, that will be pater. But that's only if you do acknowledge that there is some p'tur of onus. And that was the view of who? It's the view of Tosfos, right? Or at least some of the Tosfos. We don't know if they're all of the Tosfos, but at least the Tosfos and Daf Chav Zayin, that Adam Hamazik ba'onus is pater. So that's something which could conceivably be. And that's the way it sounds like from the Rush and his Chuvus. You see the Chuvus of Rush? It's on the list, right? So you see the Chuvus of Rush, it sounds like that, that the issue is that this is a type of onus. But what if you don't acknowledge onus as a p'tur, like the Ramban? So then what do you do with it? So how do you find that Hizik Bereshus still remains a p'tur? Jebediah?
Just a question on the Chuvus HaRash. How does it imply from the Chuvus HaRash?
All right, so we'll go into that in more detail. But just to keep things in order for now, if that's the way it sounds. So if we assume that there is no p'tur of Adam Hamazik Ba'ones, so what is it that's going to account for Hizik Bereshus? So within that angle, we broke it down into two possibilities. One possibility is to say, you know, Chanami, you're right, you're chayiv, but something else overcame it. Right? Something else decided to cancel out your chayiv. And therefore, maybe it's the motivation of the mitzvah that outweighs the existing chayiv. Somehow your teacher's note or your rabbi's note that says you're involved in a mitzvah that erases the chiyuv. But in a chanami, that's there's no p'tur for even ones, but the involvement in the mitzvah gets you off. Hi.
You would understand that to be overriding the chiyuv, not a chisarim.
Right. It would sound like it, which has a certain appeal to it. Right. If you're saying that you're chayiv for everything, and in the cases that we saw of the Ramban's allowing some p'tur earlier, it was because somebody else was chayiv. So maybe here also the mitzvah gets you excused. Or a third possibility is that perhaps there is no chiv in the first place. That even according to the Ramban, you have to have some level of something. And if somebody, for example, picked you up and threw you through the window. So you broke the window. So that you're chayav for also, for breaking the window when somebody picked you up and threw you through it? Probably not. Right? This is a topic of discussion in the first Reb Chaim on the Rambam. Reb Chaim talks about the situations where somebody is chayav to be moser nefesh, say for ritzicha. You're not supposed to kill somebody else, even if I put a gun to your head and say, I kill you, unless you kill somebody else, you're still not allowed to do it. So Reb Chaim discusses, does that mean even if you are a passive tool, if somebody picks you up and throws you with someone else to kill them? So that's presumably even less than doing something at gunpoint. So what's pshat on that? So is there a level that is so free of any kind of liability that indeed you should be pater? So maybe, sorry? Right, that's the lack of a chiv in the first place. A chiv needs something. So we mentioned that Rav Asher Weiss, based on the Chazon Ish, talks about an action requiring a mice, a hezek. We have to figure out exactly how the language fits, because we see that your chayiv, even with less than a maisa, but presumably, let's say in the context, I mean here specifically in our Daf Lamed Beis context, if you're talking about people running in public, so one person is running around and somebody else gets hurt because he's running around. So in that context, at least the language fits, that we're going to call the running a dangerous maisa. So maybe the point is that if the running is a function of some kind of mitzvah chiyuv, so then it's not a dangerous maisa. Although we're going to have to figure out how that could be, because what makes it safer for people just because you are motivated by a mitzvah? Hi.
Just to make it very, I guess, more accessible and is it saying that you need to like get to a tent in order to be chayiv, and we're at a 7, we're at a 6, we're not there, we're like,
so it seems like it's a little bit, it's probably, you know, the numbers sound like you're arbitrarily assigning the numbers, but I'm going to argue on them anyway, because it seems like it's not a question of a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10, but more it's a question of a 1. It has to be at least a 1.
Right, yeah. Maybe there's a point of being of a chiyuv and we're not there yet.
Right, so, but I think the point specifically is, though, we have to use negative numbers, because it's not that we're talking about outweighing things. It's that it's got to at least be something. You know, even if you're saying that Adam Hamazik Ba'onas is Chayiv, but Onas still has to be something. So that's why I'm pushing you on the numbers. I think it's not about being a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10. The point is it's got to be a 1. And that if it's a mitzvah, it's something else. You find something like this in Hilchta Shabbos, for example, that when it talks, in the separate from the question of mitzvah, but in Halacha Shabbos, sometimes when we talk about, say, a malacha shenetzricha legufa, or a davar shenem miskaven, so it's a whole question: what's worse, so to speak? What's closer? There's a level of ptur for both when you do a malacha for a reason that's not the function of the malacha. Malacha shenetzricha legufa, working in a basic definition, and a davar shenem miskaven. See, is when you do action A, and action A is going to bring about action B. So it's a whole question which one is closer to a chiyuv. And part of the discussion is that sometimes having a blank action is different than having an action that's diverted to some other purpose. That when, let's say, you have a malacha shein etzricha legufa, you're doing a malacha for a purpose that is not the purpose of the malacha. So that is less of a chiyuv than a davar sheinu miskaven, which you didn't really intend to do at all. But once we're blaming you for it, so then it could take on a whole malacha quality to it. While a malacha sheinu tzricha legufa, you did intentionally do, so you would think you should be more chayiv for. Except that the fact that it was done for a different purpose is significant because that diverts it to something else. So it could be somewhat of a similar concept here, that normally you're chayav for everything, but because you're involved in a mitzvah, that's diverting the action into a different direction, and that takes it off the table, and that makes it less than a one. So what kind of nafkaminas would come up among these understandings? If you understood one way, the other way, what difference would it make? Let's say, for example, okay.
Think that maybe you're doing it for mitzvah, but maybe you're doing it as an avera.
Which that sounds good. But which case are you talking about?
When he is taking his cousin's books, who she says she's doing it for her father-in-law.
Okay.
So would that they're applying that case? Would
So if it's not actually a mitzvah,
yeah,
if you think it's a mitzvah, so one question, how much are we focused on intent, is certainly going to be relevant. Does it matter if it's a obligatory mitzvah or a mitzvah kiyumis? Does it just have to have a good motivation, or does it have to have an obligatory motivation? This is something that you find in Svarim, for example, we'll discuss the Chavos Yair. It talks about people going after Kiddush Levada and discusses the question of, do you need a minyan for Kiddush Levada? Why can't you say Kiddush Levada by yourself or outside your house? Or what about lighting the menorah? Inside, outside, more in public. Does that factor into things? Chassam Sofer talks about that in his Chidushim to Shabbos, just why we want to keep the menorah concept alive in our last few hours of Hanukkah. What about Erev Shabbos and Bein HaShmashos? Right, so Bein HaShmashos, which we saw was brought in the Shulchan Aruch, so that comes from our Gemara. Right? The Gemara uses the language of Bein HaShmashos, but is Bein HaShmashos a limitation or an expansion? Because right, the Gemara seems to ask that Bein HaShmashos should be too late. Right? Because what are you doing already, Bein HaShmashos? Bein HaShmashos, aren't you ready for Shabbos already? So the Gemara has a statement that maybe you're going out to be Makabel Shabbos. So that's where you end up in a rush to go make sure Shabbos doesn't come and leave without you. So in that case, maybe the Gemara is saying that at the Bein HaShmashos part, you could have read the Gemara as it's a Chiddush. That before Shkia, so then for sure everybody's rushing around. But Bein HaShmashos already, what's left to do? So the fact that in the Shulchan Aruch it's brought Bein HaShmashos is interesting. More?
On Wednesday we spoke about going with the Bein HaShmashos point the other direction, that because he's running...
Excuse me, Motzi Shabbos. Sorry, the other direction. You going, yeah?
It's still on Friday. Right. Because he's running Bein HaShmashos, that showed me that he's obviously in a rush, that's a simon for the Rishis that he's running. He's clearly going to... The fact that he's rushing so close to Shabbos shows that he needs to be running, and that we mentioned how there might be a svara there to say that's
right. More of a Torah. It's definitely a svara there, right? So that's what we want to figure out. What exactly is Bein HaShmashos telling us? He's telling us that he's more obviously in a rush? Yeah. Or it's more of a rush because later? Or does the mitzvah take on a different component to it? So these are all interesting aspects to consider. You know, there's a discussion in the Achronim as far as the whole mitzvah is concerned. Now, there is a practice that we have that if Chalila, a Sefer Torah should fall, so we know we've developed a minig that Magen Avraham quotes, that we fast for a Sefer Torah that falls. And there's an interesting path you can track in the Achronim as to what the nature of that fast is. Is that fast because you perceive the incident as a siman ra, that it's like a message from Shemayim that we have to do tshuva? Or is it that it's an avera to be careless with the Sefer Torah? And therefore, because it's an avera, so you have to do tshuva for letting it drop. And it sounds like from the language of the Rambam that it's even a higher standard than other things, so even though you don't intentionally disrespect the Sefer Torah, but the requirement to keep it safe, but it's a higher standard of liability. So it's very an interesting discussion you can find in the Achronim if you know where to look, because it's not explicitly laid out this way. But you can see from many psakim in the Sifrei Achronim on this topic that they're assuming one way or another, that either it's a siman min hashamayim or it's something that you have to do tshuva for. So one way or another, the fast is a type of tshuva, is a tool of tshuva. The only question is, what is the tshuva for? Is the tshuva because there's some general issue that this was a sign, like Moshe Rabbeinu throwing the luchos to the ground? So too, if the Sefer Torah falls, it's like the luchos being thrown to the ground and you have to do tshuva. Or, no, it's not so supernatural like that, but it's simply that there was an avera involved in letting the Sefer Torah fall, and therefore one has to do tshuva for that.
Hi.
Right, so that's why it's not connected to that. You know, this is... It doesn't seem to be that it's about hezek. It's about disrespect. It's interesting because this tells us a little bit about how Minhagim develop in Klal Yisrael. Because if you look, so this is something which you don't find in Shas Bechlal. And the earliest authoritative source for this minig is in the Magen Avraham in Hilchos Tefillin. The Magen Avraham says there's a minig to fast if the Tefillin fall, and V'hu Adin Sefer Torah.
I think
it's quoted from the Mishpatei Shmuel.
There's a quote from the Gemara where it says that if you burn a Sefer Torah,
so,
you have to tear Kriya.
Oh, exactly. So
Kriya and
that's the Gemara Mordechai.
Have no connection.
Oh, exactly. Oh. So there is a number of sources that the Sfarim quote to try to explain this minig. And that is one of them. There's a Gemara Mod Katan that a Kriya for a Sefer Torah Shenisraf. And some of the Achronim ask exactly that question. That but there the Sefer Torah is destroyed. Rahman of Islam. And if it falls, it can just pick it up again. And what does Kriya have to do with fasting? So they ask exactly like that. So the answer is that no one is going to tell you, in all the different Svarim that are quoting different ideas, no one's going to tell you that it's a chiyuv medina de gemara to fast for a Sefer Torah that falls. It's a minig that has developed. So what the Svarim are trying to do when they quote this gemara or that gemara is they're trying to explain how the minig came to be. Because a minig only makes sense if it is a kiyum of some kind of a din. It has to somehow reflect an existing halachic value. So therefore, when the Achronim want to explain it, they point to a specific idea. And the question is, okay, this minig is taking this idea a little bit further. So they bring proof such as that Gemara to say, okay, when something happens to a Sefer Torah, it demands a response. But that response can take on additional forms through a minig. So the din in the Gemara is of Kriya for a destroyed Sefer Torah. And the minig that developed, perhaps according to this theory based on that, is to fast for a dropped Sefer Torah.
Well, I guess Kriya is greater than, it's a greater form of mourning than fasting.
Presumably, yeah, it's a form of mourning, and fasting is not really a form of mourning. Fasting is a form of tshuva, which is an interesting discussion. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to talk about that next week, because there's a tainus coming up. That was a suggestion. Maybe we should speak about that Motzei Shabbos, the Prima Lava Malka. That's one of the suggested topics. But that's an interesting question, how exactly fasting plays a role. Sometimes it's related to mourning, and sometimes it's related to tshuva, and sometimes related to both. But here it seems like it's related to tshuva, so it sounds like it's a minhag that's built on that notion. So it's an interesting discussion, because it has nafkaminas. So, for example, what if the people were really completely blameless? This is a machlokus, the tshuva's shem olam, the tshuva's divrei chayim. They had a situation where the gabbai showed up in the shul in the morning and found that people had broken into the shul overnight and thrown the Sefer Torah on the floor. So if you have a situation where it's complete innocence on behalf of the Jews involved, and it happened through onus kain geneva, essentially, so is there still a concept of fast? If it's just a bad sign, so then you would say, even then, even though there was no guilt on behalf of the people, they had locked everything up and people broke in, so there's still such a notion. But if you say that it's a tshuva for some kind of an avera, so, all right, so then there's no guilt. If you say it's tshuva for some kind of an avera, so then maybe there isn't anything to do tshuva for. So this, again, it's interesting, because this is not, to my knowledge, explicitly stated in the Achronim that discuss this, but you can see from the way it's played out that this is the underlying issue. So if we assume that it's because of your Avera, so to speak, so then you can see where we're going with this discussion. So what might another nafkamina be in terms of the Sefer Torah points? Could that be canceled out by a mitzvah? So if somebody was doing a mitzvah while he was carrying the Sefer Torah and it fell, so does that outweigh any guilt? Now, parenthetically, it's a little bit of a cop-out, it seems, because first of all, you're going to end up covering a huge percentage of situations then, because most of the times people are carrying Sefer Torah, it's some kind of a mitzvah. You know, they talk about hakafos, and they talk about hagba, and the like.
If you think about it like this, why, if dropping a Sefer Torah would be so bad, why would we do hagba, why would we have simplest
Torah,
why would we even put yourself in that?
Very fair question. So personally, I'm very nervous during both those things. So it's a fair question to ask. I think maybe part of what you have to figure out about this particular cheshbon, about whether this Gemara, which is what some of the Sfarim discuss about this issue, whether it helps. So first of all, maybe it's completely irrelevant. So the Achronim that quote this Gemara in this discussion, there's a discussion about this in the Tshuva Seima Kalacha, and a few other Sfarim, they raise this question. So how do you know it's relevant at all? Right, this idea of Ratz Bereshus. Maybe this is a Nezikin principle. Maybe it has to do with Ben Adam L'Chavero, specifically. And maybe it doesn't mitigate other things. So, for example, and this is a little bit relevant to Ezra's question, you know, presumably, if we do have such a chiyuv to be so careful, so it doesn't necessarily mean that we shouldn't do hagba, we shouldn't do hakafos, but presumably it means we have to be careful within the hagba and the hakafos. So to say that you're off the hook completely because of the mitzvah is going to create a funny kind of ptur. And presumably it means that to the extent they're going to say that the whole kehila is chayiv, so it means the gabbai should have picked somebody strong to do hagba. And maybe hakafos should be regulated in a certain way to make sure that people aren't too likely to drop it. But to have a across-the-board ptur would seem a little bit strange. But in any event, the invoking of this Gemara in that context means that they're understanding this Gemara as a p'tur based on your mitzvah note and not necessarily based on other people's awareness of what's going on. Right? Because if you want to say that Ratz Brishus, it's not really about the mitzvah, but really it's because other people should be aware, so then it's not going to have any relevance to that Sefer Torah discussion. The Sefer Torah should have protected itself. And how exactly is that going to fit into the discussion? So, for example, do you see the Shita Mekubetzes over here? Is that on the list? I think it should be on the list. So we don't have a Shita Mekubetzes in this room, but luckily I do have one on my phone. So I will read you the language.
Do you want
to, you have it with you? Oh, okay, excellent. So let's just cite one or two lines from the Shita Mekubetzes. Sam, you're very helpful. So here it says the Rebbeinu Yonason. Where'd it go? Sorry. It's a nice fancy sheet to make about this. Here it is. So it's the last one on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. So you see his language. He explains what's going on. It says, "Hachi perusho afal gav to mishu who rats perushos harabim." Normally, if somebody is running in the rishos harabim, nira mishuna, that's a change in what should be. Dein derech laretz. You're not supposed to be running around in public. V'impaga v'hizik rats b'mahalich. So if they collide, and the one who's running ends up hurting the one who's walking. So dinahu shiyechayev l'shalem kulei nezek, to adam muad olam. So okay, so then you are muad as a runner, as a person, and as a runner. So therefore, you should be chayev. That's the baseline. Aval kevan shehu erev Shabbos, to adam tarud liknos tzorchei Shabbos, oh liknos shemen l'ner shel Shabbos. Since it's Erev Shabbos and people are very distracted and people are very put upon, so derechu l'mishehu ben bris larutz. So somebody who's Jewish at that time, it is kederech. That becomes normal. Al kein miziku zezeh, therefore if they end up hurting each other, nifter, sounds like if you wanted to read that wrong, you could say that if they hit each other, one's going to die. That's not what it means. He's a niftar, he's pater. Shaharei yesh lo rishos laretz bederech. Because here he has permission to run in the road, so he's exempt. V'al hanizok, here's the key words then. V'al hanizok kaya laharchik es atzma. So the one who got hurt, he should have been more careful. So that's the cheshbon. This gemara doesn't really have anything to do with mitzvah points. All right, it's not because he's excused because of the holiness of what he's doing. It's because everyone understands that that's what's going on at the time. Marty, do you want to say something?
It's way more just based on sort of the it's contextual. It's really about the mitzvahs. And that's what we suggested on Wednesday when we mentioned this part. I was getting earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We said that that's like being the understanding of Ben Hashemash is to be
what's going on.
Right.
Right. So it would seem that if we're going to focus on this, if this is the only explanation that you have, right, so then what parameters should we have here? So how much does it matter what mitzvah you're doing?
Not so much, probably.
Not so much.
Or it only matters in as far as in so much as it tells you about the mitzvahs.
Right. But so it's still not so much. Right. So it
would,
so whenever there's a situation where people are likely to be running around, that's going to define things. But according to this, it sounds like the mitzvah quality doesn't matter so much. Now, and it's relevant, Sammy asked me this morning, let's say you're doing something else, let's say you're running around to exercise, but you're still hurried because since you got to get it in before Shabbat starts, so therefore that still affects what you're doing. So should that matter? Right, that was the question you asked before? Am I getting it right? More or less? Faster or slower? It was more or less. So it would seem like from the Ramah that we saw the other day that he seems to say explicitly not that way. Right? Because the Ramah says, quoting the Nimuki Yosef, that it's only because you're involved in a mitzvah, but if you're involved in something else on Erev Shabbos at the same time, that's not going to exempt you. So based on this, why should it matter, really?
Are we going to say the Ramah is going to be against the Shita then? The Shita is not even about doing this at all. It's about just acknowledging...
That's what it sounds like. Is there any svara to say that despite this being the logic, it still should only tie in to if you are involved in the action that normally explains it?
Yeah, because he says, Kol b'nei, what's the lashon there? Kol
ben bris?
Kol ben bris, l'arutz.
Right.
So, meaning that, not that it's anyone that's Jewish is running it at this point because they have what to do. I mean, as much as it's a crazy time because of Shabbos.
So it's not because of the mitzvah specifically.
I feel like it can be ready to write.
So it's interesting. There are some who ask on the Ramah. Do you think the Ramah can't be read either way?
Right. The Ramah seems to be pretty
clear. Right.
It's not explicitly.
So we have a Rambam here. Right? You see the Rambam, the way the Rambam formulates this? Hi. I can get it digitally if you don't have it. Yeah.
The Shita could be, you could be looking at the Shita Mikubetza and see that there would be a difference whether you're doing the mitzvah or not because of the public perception of that.
Say that again. That if
I think that the Tosfos Yontov kind of says it, but like if somebody is doing the mitzvah, so then it's going to be apparent to the people around them that that's why they're running in there.
Always.
Always.
With some mitzvahs yes, and some mitzvahs no, right?
Okay, I'm not sure.
It won't always be apparent that somebody is running to to a dvar mitzvah.
Wouldn't that be the nafkamina?
Sorry?
Would that be the nafkamina for bumping into someone while I'm going to do a mitzvah?
It would seem like it. Right? It would seem like it. You know, it shouldn't necessarily be derived from the mitzvah focus as much as from the context. But the question is, so why should it matter if you are? Why should it matter if you're motivated by something else? So the Ramah's Nimuki Yosef clearly makes it dependent on that. But the question is there another way to see it? So there are some who suggest that the Rambam's language seems to be different. So I will get you a Rambam digitally. Okay, for technology. So the language of the Rambam is as follows. Shnayim shehayu mahalchin b'rishus harabim. Echad ratz v'echad mahalich v'huzak echad mehen b'chavero shalo b'chavana. Zeharatz chayiv mipnei shehu mishaneh. Okay, that's the baseline again. V'mahayo erev Shabbos bein hashmashos pater mipnei shebereshus hurats. Why? Kidei shelo tikanes hashabbos v'hueno panoi. So he's worried that Shabbos is going to come in and he's not going to be ready. He's not going to be finished with everything he has to do. So there are those who understand that Rambam to say that it doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing a mitzvah specifically and that you are preparing for Shabbos. It's that it's enough that Shabbos creates a pressure to get everything else done. So maybe that's Sammy's case, right? That if you're doing other things which aren't necessarily for Shabbos, but you're trying to get in before Shabbos. So therefore, maybe that's enough reason to pater. So the language leaves it open a little bit. Is he saying that that's itself some kind of a mitzvah, or presumably maybe it's closer to what the Shita is saying, that look, people are in a rush. And therefore, once you're in a rush, so then everything is going to be hurried, and everybody knows that it's a tense time. And therefore, people have to be more concerned about that. Now, if you also emphasize that al ha-nizak la-harchik es atzmo, so does it make a difference if you are going to talk about somebody getting hit or something getting hit?
Yeah.
You think so?
Sorry.
Okay. So you want to explain?
Maybe even if it's not you, but it's your shus, it might be on you to make sure that your shus is not placed in susceptible.
So you're saying it doesn't make a difference?
So, yeah, I'm going back on what I said.
Okay, that's pretty quick.
Saying it doesn't make a difference.
Right, so we see. So that's interesting. That's also the topic of discussion. We'll probably have to get to this more tomorrow. But the Chavis Yar, who is a tshuva that's very central to this whole discussion, the Chavis Yar and his tshuva, Siman Reish Zayin, the Shoal in the tshuva had such a premise that he's talking about somebody you mentioned earlier. If somebody is called out for Kiddush Levana, the Gabbai announces, oh, we have a moon, everyone come. So a guy runs right out of his house and he smashes something in the store next door to his house. So the Shoal wanted to say this guy should be chayiv for a number of reasons. One of the reasons he suggested is maybe this p'tur that we find here is only two people running into each other. But maybe somebody running into an inanimate object that can't be told it has to protect itself, maybe that's a different story. Hi.
I would think the opposite Torah.
Okay. Think, but I also emphasize that's the Shoal of the Chavis Yar. It's not the Chavis Yar himself. This is a bit, go on, yeah?
Yeah, I would think that it would be, you'd look more at the Mechila, and somebody would be Mochel on something like their property, but on their actual self, they wouldn't be mochel damaged onto that as easily.
So, but then we have to ask, is to hear what's the mechila on, and that's an important topic, because assuming that mechila plays a role here, which we haven't yet really seen, but that's an important thing to bring up, because maybe that's a part of this whole discussion on a different level. So you saw, it's on the list, you saw the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Purim, where he talks about people who are mazik each other or mazik property in the context of Simchas Purim, in the context of Simcha of other mitzvos. So there, is that the same tour as this, or is that based on something else? So there, that's something we'll have to discuss, and we'll just put this onto the table, and then we'll have to continue tomorrow. So there, the Ramah has a psak, but it's based on a Trumas Hadeshin. That's how it seems to be sourced. Trumas Hadeshin in his psakim, in Siman Reish Yud, which is worth reading, that it sounds like it's a different point. That there's one such thing as a Mazik Rishos. But there's another idea when people are engaged in some kind of mitzvah pursuit together that they want, let's say if it's a celebration, they want the celebration to be a certain way, and therefore they recognize that they have to relax a little bit. They can't be so makbid because it's going to otherwise cramp everybody's style. So is that the same din or is that a different din? And what nafkaminas might that have? So Jed was just alluding to some. You know, if we're talking about mechila as a factor there, are there limits to mechila? So for example, when we talk about ratz bereshus, So in our Gemara in Bava Kamma, or at least ours, you know, speaking Masechta wise, so if somebody, if you apply the Ptur of Ratz Bereshus, do you see any indication that it matters how much damage you do? Doesn't seem like it. But in the context of Simchas Purim, maybe that's not true. So maybe one is based on Mechila, and the Mechila has limits, and maybe one isn't.
This is going back to the Trumas Rosh Hashanah.
A little bit, yeah. But here, now we're referencing the Trumas Hadashin, which is the source for the Shulchan Aruch by Purim, and maybe that's based on something else. And there's also going to be a difference between the Ikar Din and policy, so that's going to confuse things a little bit in terms of what's based on the Lumdus and what's based on something else. So all of that we have to try to hopefully wrap up tomorrow, but just to highlight some of those points, just to again recap some of the main things that we talked about. So we have to try to figure out still how much is it the mitzvah that generates the patur, or how much is it the understanding of what's going on that generates the patur. We saw here the Shita Mekubetza seems to focus very clearly on the understanding, but the Ramah that we saw before focuses on the mitzvah. If it's not the mitzvah, then it wouldn't be a patur. The Rambam may lead to a different conclusion related to Sammy's question, that maybe the issue is just because someone's trying to be free of everything else Erev Shabbos, and therefore maybe it's not necessarily that he's involved in a mitzvah specifically. We had the whole discussion about the Sefer Torah fast. Is the Sefer Torah fast based on an Avera or not? That itself is a machlokas, and if it's based on an Avera, can this Gemara of Ratz Bereshus be invoked to outweigh that Avera, or does Ratz Bereshus have nothing to do with that? Maybe that's just a concept here in people's understanding of each other and doesn't apply to a Sefer Torah. And the question of whether it applies to objects or just to people, I saw that was an issue that the Shoal and the Chavos Yair brought up. And we mentioned also the whole tour that the Ramah mentions in Hilchos Purim about people who are partying, and that was based on the Shrimas Hadeshin. Possibly it's a whole different discussion. It's not necessarily based, and the Shrimas Hadeshin in turn is based on Rishonim and Sukkah. We'll discuss in a little bit more detail tomorrow. So maybe that's not the same Yisod. We have to figure out possible differences. It doesn't matter what kind of value we're talking about. Is there a limit? And also the question of Erev Shabbos, we still have to nail that down. Is Erev Shabbos that the Gemara mentions, is the Gemara read to be said even Erev Shabbos, or is it especially Erev Shabbos? And what if people prepare before Erev Shabbos? So all of these are going to play a role in our discussion. So God willing, we will pick up with that tomorrow. Today is a special occasion. We mentioned before that how in Lakewood they would do the Chazaras Lashatz